Here's some breaking news. Podcasts are on Spotify. Now you can get your favorite shows, like this one, right in the podcast section of your Spotify app. All the best news podcasts, all in one place. Listen free on Spotify.
Here's your Money Briefing. I'm J.R. Whalen at the Wall Street Journal in New York. The Federal Reserve, of course, uses changes in interest rate levels to respond to changing economic climates. But it also has a recently developed tool that is not widely known, but it has the big banks nervous. In a moment, we'll check in with a Journal reporter for details. First, some money and market news you should know. The Journal's economic team makes the point that the federal minimum wage of $7.25 an hour is fairly irrelevant. That's because 29 states have set their minimum wage higher, and that represents about 60% of the workforce. In addition, numerous large employers like Amazon, McDonald's, and Walmart have pledged to pay employees higher than the federal minimum wage, and the tight labor market has forced companies of all sizes to do the same. That leaves a little more than 0.25% of the nation's 156 million civilian workers making the minimum wage last year. Most of them were under the age of 25. And while the federal minimum wage is a hot topic for argument, it's unlikely to be raised anytime soon. A bill that would raise the minimum recently passed the Democratic House, but Republicans in the Senate are not likely to consider it. And the White House says faster economic growth is the best way to produce wage increases, not the government directing an increase. And the Olive Garden restaurant chain has had a lot of success with its never-ending pasta pass, which costs $100. Well, it actually offers guests 9 weeks of unlimited pastas and sauces. But now 50 pasta lovers will be able to upgrade to a $500 lifetime pasta pass when they go on sale Thursday, August 15th. The offer also comes with unlimited breadsticks, and to balance out all those carbs, unlimited soups and salads as well.
Here's some breaking news. Podcasts are on Spotify. Now you can get your favorite shows, like this one, right in the podcast section of your Spotify app. All the best news podcasts, all in one place. Listen free on Spotify.
We've been following the Federal Reserve's delicate task of finding the right level for interest rates as it weighs low unemployment and low inflation here in the U.S. against economic declines overseas. But in addition to interest rates, the Fed has another tool in its arsenal to use in the event of a credit crunch brought on by an economic downturn. And Wall Street Journal reporter Lalita Clozel is here with some details. So, Lalita, it's called a countercyclical capital buffer. In some plain English, what exactly would that do?
So the countercyclical capital buffer allows the Fed to increase capital requirements when the economy is doing really well and there are potential signs that, you know, it might not last and there are risks rising in the economy. So the idea is that you increase capital requirements, make banks sock away more capital so that when a downturn hits, then the Fed can then decrease those capital requirements, and at that moment allow the banks to lend more at a time when their lending is most needed, because they're, you know, at times of recession, that can bring about a credit crunch.
You know, hindsight is 20/20, and I guess the Fed feels the buffer could have come in handy during the last downturn.
And it didn't exist during the 2008 financial crisis. It's a pretty new tool. It was created after by international regulators. There are other countries that have turned it on, like Sweden and the UK. And in the US so far, it's never been turned on. Several Fed officials feel that capital requirements and capital levels in the system are about right. So they feel like we don't need to turn the dial up right now, even though the economy's been doing pretty well. And not all Fed officials agree on that. But now some of the Fed officials who feel that even though capital levels are right now are saying that they're weighing finding ways to use that countercyclical capital buffer not to increase capital when things are going well, not just in that direction, but in the other direction. So in other words, you would reserve the tool for when the downturn hits, and at that moment, you would have extra flexibility to cut capital requirements for banks so that banks can lend more.
And if this buffer were to be turned on, it would apply to banks on the bigger end of the spectrum. Is that right?
Right. So this is generally for banks with more than $250 billion in assets.
Okay. But you know, the banks aren't big fans of holding on to excessive amounts of cash. They would much rather lend it out and collect the interest.
And this is part of why the tool exists. And the idea is that when things are going well and maybe the financial system is too optimistic and banks might be lending too much and maybe making, you know, bad decisions on their loans, that's when you would restrict their ability to do that by increasing their capital requirements. But to a couple of the Fed officials who feel that capital levels are already high enough in the system, are considering a way to actually use the countercyclical capital buffer, not now necessarily to increase capital requirements, but more as a tool to, you know, lower capital levels during a downturn. So in a way that would allow banks to not see their capital requirements increase, but it could give them kind of a release valve during the upcoming recession.
And while some Fed officials feel that capital levels are high enough, I would imagine that some banks are feeling that there's enough regulation out there and this is just something else on their back.
Yeah. So, and there was been a debate over the last year or so. Some Fed officials who feel like banks should have more capital, should be holding more capital than they currently are, have argued that the countercyclical capital buffer should be turned on, especially, you know, over the last year when asset prices were rising and the economy was showing some signs of risk to some of the Fed officials.
Okay. And so, just to be clear, as of right now, there's no plan to put this buffer into place, but the Fed wants to make sure banks are aware that it's on the table in case it's needed?
Right. So they've been making statements and you know, saying that they're weighing it. There's no immediate plan to do so right now. And actually, the Fed in March they have to vote annually on whether or not to turn this countercyclical capital buffer on. So in March, they decided not to move it. So it's been at zero. Basically, it's been dormant since it's been created in 2016. That's when the Fed put out a rule implementing it.
Okay. That's Wall Street Journal reporter Lalita Clozel and our Washington Bureau on the line with us. Lalita, thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you.
And that's your Money Briefing. I'm J.R. Whalen in New York for the Wall Street Journal.